Hey, it's Delvin. You might know me as the Dark Web from the Long Box Crusade. Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about what you're going to be listening to. This is Come Out to Play. It's a New Warriors podcast based on the 1990s series, The New Warriors. The New Warriors ran 75 issues. And Jared, you might know him as Death Probe, possibly the yard sale artist. Jared and I are covering all 75 of these issues, and we're doing it on YouTube channel. Since we have an awesome DJ in Pat Sampson, aka DJ Cristados, he's gonna take these and he's gonna strip the audio from the YouTube recordings that we do every second Tuesday of the month, by the way, if you wanna listen there. He's gonna take those recordings and he's gonna just give you the audio recording. So if you're a little bit busy, like most people are from time to time, you have an extra opportunity to be able to just listen to the audio. So a little bit of a warning. It's going to be a little bit rough, as you know, some of the things are going to be comments and stuff that happen right in that moment. But you still get to listen to some New Warriors goodness. Have fun. And remember,
New Warriors, come out to play.
Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, is streamed live in front of an internet audience. You can join in on the live stream and chat every second Tuesday of the month on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for and follow Long Box Crusade.
New Warriors, come out to play. Come out to play. I don't know what Jared's doing. He was prepared with the bottles.
I don't know what I'm doing.
you're prepared with the bottles, and like we didn't like banter for minutes with you know our normal Bravo Sierra.
Well, we were behind the scenes, folks. We were troubleshooting some tech issues. What is this, episode 32?
Episode 32.
Okay, I got the script up now. And I'm all set.
Your pants down.
Of course. And give us a little branding there. I'll give us.
I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait until you come up with the branding, and then I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start the show.
Bam.
Oh my goodness. There we go then. Welcome to Come Out to Play, everybody. A New Warriors podcast. I am Delvin, aka the Dark Web. And if you are watching this on YouTube or wherever you may be listening, we would love for you to hit the like and subscribe button. Please, it helps us out a lot, and we would love you forever. We don't have any guests today. We just have the lovable, enjoyable, mustacheless face of Jared Oliver. He ran out of fake mustaches. He had money for fake mustaches, but only for a little bit of time.
Limited fake mustache money, yes.
But he is here. It's good to see you. Corey did a great job filling in last month. But it's us, man. It's our show. You know, it's good to have guests. But you know, sometimes it's just good to just be at home. You know, with those who inhabit the house normally. You know,
right? Yes. Your former guest. What was his name again? He has like a New Warriors account, but I don't know what his real name is.
Corey.
All right. So yeah, Corey. Corey did fine. I stopped in and caught about a half hour's worth of it, which was good. So it was funny. Behind the scenes, I asked Delvin to have somebody pitch in for me because I had a good friend of mine who had some surgery, and he doesn't have any family aside from his elderly parents. And so I wanted to give them a break and go take care of him for a bit. And then, so we set that up, and then I got COVID. So it was like, well.
Did you tell me that you had COVID?
I don't remember, maybe.
Said you're down. Anyway, I'm sorry that you got the vid, man.
It's all right. It is not the first time. It is not the second time. That was round three for me. I'm getting good at it. It's to the point where it hits me like it's just no different from a flu to me now. I have it for about 5 days. Finally, that lingering cough is leaving me. I can laugh at jokes now and not start coughing. Maybe we'll see.
You need to have a bumper sticker, see, that says, I'm not worried about COVID. I eat at Taco Bell.
That's right. That's right. My immune system is on the ups.
I ain't afraid of nothing, son. Cheesy gordita crunches? We're talking about COVID. Snort
them
out of here.
Snort them. I crush them up. I snort it.
All right. We are, of course, getting off track because that's what, that's we, what do. But I will get us back on track and say or ask, do you have a question for me? You know, keeping me in line and all that stuff and whatnot and so forth.
You would think I would have brought one, remembering that was part of the show. So, all right. Last issue had some very 90s X-Force members in it. Cannonball, correct. Warpath.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think those were the two. I think there was two.
Yep, Cannonball and Warpath, and then there were some former New Mutants, I believe, Empath and Magma.
Right. So thinking back onto your very 90s X-Force of that Liefeld era, who was your favorite X-Force member?
Ooh. I believe it was Shatterstar. Like, it was hard to turn down, you know, like, you know, the cool guy, even though he wasn't human, but, you know, he was kind of, I think he was from Longshot's universe, and had the ponytails, and had, like, the sword with, like, you know, and he sliced it, he threw it up in the air, catch it behind his back. Okay, can't say that. But, so, he had a lot of cool elements, and then, as it turned out, like, he had some sort of, like electrical current powers or something that he would use the sword to vibrate and use the powers for.
Yeah, like so, a single bladed sword, a two bladed sword, and a healing factor, if I remember correctly, too. Very Wolverine-y.
Yeah, everybody has a healing factor one way or another. Like, I mean, if you consider that, like a Amazing Spider-Man, for instance, like they covered this with Doc Ock at one point leading up to that storyline where he became the Superior Spider-Man and everything. But he was basically on death's door. And he's like, because I took all these freaking knocks to the head from Spider-Man. I got CTE, y'all.
So, you know what? Speaking of which, and Shatterstar, Liefeld, you know, 90s pouches and whatever. But Liefeld basically put him in padded headgear.
Yes.
Which I thought, that's practical. That will help you in combat.
It'll help you in combat. It'll help you if you're sitting there, you know, getting knocked unconscious every doggone 5 minutes. Yeah, land on something padded. So, yeah, both of us are a part of the Shatterstar appreciation.
Yeah, and I've always liked Cannonball quite a bit, but Shatterstar was my favorite 90s X-Force.
I would love to know what Fabian, of course, we've had him on the show, what had planned for Cannonball. Because, like, he was, like, in early days of X-Force, he was kind of touted as the one. Like, he was, like, supposed to, like, an Eternal or something like that and everything. And Cable was grooming him and everything. But that sort of fell by the wayside. And it was like, I don't know what happened to that. I also liked Warpath, too. Warpath was always very, very cool to me. And it's like they could have done more with him, and they never quite did. But
they give me a Warpath solo book right now. I'll write you a good one. I could do stuff with that character too. Cause he's not tied to a lot. I mean, all you got to really know about is you know, he loved his brother and he's cool. there's a lot you could go with him.
There's plenty of play with Native American heritage.
Yes.
That could go on. And like, I know I have some, Native American blood in me, and like, all of that heritage and stuff and all the lore that goes to, like, that they came from is cool as hell.
Yeah, so, I'd have him. But, good.
I'm sorry. I'm just like, to tie all of that in would be fantastic.
I would have him going from, like, Native American encampment to encampment, you know, solving, like, paranormal Native American crimes and paranormal things. And I think that would be fun. Like, make it almost like a darker, not dark, like depressing, but you know what I'm saying? Like a Man Thing or Swamp Thing, you know, sort of in that paranormal universe. That's what that's my pitch. Marvel, give me a call. I got it.
Yeah. Give us a call. Totally. I mean, Jared's going to write it, but I'm going to be the tag along guy. That's
be just my Puff Daddy. Be the Puff Daddy by Notorious B.I.G. Just ask all the questions that I need to keep rapping. But tell them why, Biggie. What time we get there?
What you writing about, Jared?
Hey, man. What's he going to do? He had a formula.
And so I guess later on I'm going to have you killed.
And that's the show, folks.
Why do people listen to us? I swear, before goodness. Thank you to everybody who has joined so far. I'm going to do a quick read before I go into the show. Auburn Elvis, AU Kathy, Jason Lady. Let's see, Linkovich. Thank y'all so much. Seth Elmore. Thank y'all again. Courtney Holland. Courtney wanted me to know that she's watching NXT, which is like the third brand of WWE, which is supposed to be a really good show tonight. So hate that I'm missing it. Let's see. Have I forgot? Bat Boy Versus also. So we got several people in the chat. If I happen to miss you, I apologize. Just wanted to say once again, thank you for coming. Oh, and Bat Boy also mentioned, I'm glad you reminded me too. He said, should check out the new Transformers comic book by Daniel Warren Johnson. It just came out last week. I'm going to have to go to my comic book store and get that on the pull list. I'm still a part of, you remember Atomic Comics, Jared?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That you hit me to all those years ago. I still get Flash my books Salsa. From them. Yep. No. That's from San Antonio.
I thought Atomic ended up buying those guys too.
Really?
Oh, you're talking about
No, the North Carolina thing.
Yeah. That was it'll come to me. It's got a different title, or maybe they changed it. But when I was
now it's Atomic Empire.
Okay.
It used to be Atomic Comics.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they're good folks. Good mail service.
Heck yeah, I've been with them since 2009, and so I don't think I'm going away from them anytime soon. But like I asked them months ago about it, and they hadn't put it up. But I'm definitely considering getting that new Transformers because I wouldn't mind having some new Transformers in my life. But we're not here to talk about Transformers. We're here to talk about New Warriors. Come out to play as a chronicling of the 1990 series, The New Warriors. The first volume of New Warriors ran 75 issues. Jared and I will cover all of the first volume as I rediscover my love for the series and help Jared find his. So grab your skateboards and bucket helmets. It is time to play. Today, as I scoot over, because I already know what Jared's doing, we're covering New Warriors 32. Cover credits go to Derek Robertson and Larry Malstead. Covers up. Jared's going to talk about it. Hold on, let me skip back.
We got this new layout thanks to Pat, so we don't have to push as far over it.
I did. I came back and I was like, so Jared, tell us what you're talking about.
we're getting the new layout here, folks. Don't you worry. Let me turn this shield off my forehead. Ding. What am I supposed to do? Describe the cover, something like that?
Something like that.
Something like that. All right, let's take a look at this cover. And in fact, I will take the banner away so we can all see it real good. All right, so this is a fun cover with like a ton of motion and motion. I should have prepared better for this. All right, so you've got the everything is swirling, and when I say everything, that includes the title font, the Marvel Comics logo, even the issue number. Everything is swirling towards a vortex in the middle. The New Warriors logo is red letters highlighted by white on a blue background. And it has a banner above it that says Forces of Darkness, Forces of Light, Part 2. The Marvel Comics logo is that very 90s one that I love quite a bit, and it's yellow. And there's, again, just a ton of black and white swirly whirlpool motion, sort of pulling everything towards the center of the cover. Looks like the first person to go in is going to be named Narita, followed by Rage, and then probably Nova. Next in the into the whirlpool is going to be Speedball, and then lastly will be Firestar, who I think is actually singing. She says, I believe in life after love. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those ones that plays a lot with the formatting of the cover, which makes it energy and interesting. There's a blurb on the top right that I can't read on the screen, but I've got the book right here. It says, a new era of Warriors greatness begins here. And there you have it.
Well, you sort of kind of described. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? How it made you feel? Did you like it? Did you not?
Oh, I definitely like it. I love it when they play with the fonts and the titles and all that stuff. And it really brings a ton of energy. It's a super creative cover. You can tell they had a good idea for it, and it's well executed. This is Derek Robertson's art on the cover, right? Mm-hmm. He loves the strong facial expression. And they work well here because it's very panicky being sucked into this vortex. I look for a high score.
So few comments from everybody. We got Jason Lady who says he loves this cover. And Courtney says that's crazy cool.
Auburn Elvis gives a slight critique and says lots of lines. The artist must not like his inker. I think he, you know what? It's part critique, part, I think, a little bit of pandering to Jared.
I will say this. I will interject. This isn't so bad. A lot of people see a lot of lines and a lot of ink and say, oh, that must have been rough on the anchor. No, this isn't bad at all because there's almost no way to mess up. It's just swirling black lines. Like if it's tech, and we've talked about this, tech, robot, perfect lines and all that. That's, yep. I would take a cover like this all day long because you can't mess it up. It's just swirling line. But that's nice. A common thing that people say. I remember Van sending me a page to ink for Cold Lightning, and it was all in all these caves. He's like, oh, you're gonna hate me because of all the darkness in these caves. I'm like, no, man, those are just rock shapes, you know, like you can't mess that up. So yeah, it's easier than you might think.
Okay. And a few more comments. Auburn Elvis says 30th anniversary Spidey is rock solid. It's crazy now that we were celebrating 30 and now Spidey is 60 years old.
I don't like that comment. I don't, bro. Like
me neither. And Jason Lady adds Firestar's facial expression is great. You can hear her going, ah!
Do you believe?
All right. So those are the and A. Kathy, MVP says very dynamic. So everyone has a lot of cool things to say about it. And for Derek Robertson's first cover, right? A lot of energy. He put a lot of energy and effort into it. And
his first cover.
This is a quick correction. You mentioned Forces of Darkness, Forces of Light, part one. Part two. It's part one. And no, all good. But the reason why I want to bring that up is if you notice, you know, there's a vortex or whatever, and the heroes are being sucked into it, but there's no enemy. And that's the reason why I think I wanted to mention that it was a part one and not a part two, because they have yet to reveal what's going on yet. They still very well tied in what was going to happen in the book as well, as the warriors are taken over by something. And it looks like, since they already hinted that it's part one, that there's something going on that's afoot that's going to take a few issues for the warriors to resolve. So just wanted to add that. And I think that's it. You talked about it. I talked about it. The listening audience talked about it. If y'all want to in the listening audience, you can go ahead and rate it. Trey Black is in saying, hello, what's up, man? How you doing? And we're going to rate the book on a scale of 1 to 10 nightsticks or truncheons, if you want to mention that. And I want to mention that again, because we just recently did Amazing Spider-Man 220. And
how did we forget the word truncheon?
I know, right?
You know, I made a mental note to mention that and I forgot.
There, yeah. Moonlight was like, it's not the Billy Club, it's a truncheon. And you can imagine him saying it in, like, you know, a kind of like a Batman-esque voice, it's a truncheon. So anyway, we're gonna rate it, scale of 1 to 10. I'll go first. I had you talking a lot with the description and everything. I'm at an 8. I think it's a good cover. And a great debut for Derek on the covers. We're both sticklers for, hey, if you draw the book, then you should draw the cover too, you know, because that's the artwork that you're expecting. And this very much is Derek in his own great cartoony style. He does a great cartoon style that still is rooted in some realism. So an 8 to me is a great start for him. What do you think?
I will, I'm going to tip the hand of some of the comments in the chat right now, and I'm going to join Jason Lady as two cool guys, and I'm going to give this a full 10. Ooh. And I'm going to do that because there's a few covers out there in this world where the second you look at it, you're going to remember the storyline, like, instantly. I mean, Kraven's Last Hunt, any of the covers from that, what was it, 6-issue run? You're just like, oh, that's my
Zach. Were those Zach covers?
Yeah, Zach and Bob McLeod, I think. Yeah, you just go, oh, I remember that. It's a great storyline. And it doesn't even have to be a great storyline. Like, I thought the story was good. We'll get to that. But it just gives you that snapshot in time where you go, I absolutely remember what's going on right now because of the wild creativity. It's one of those, you're flipping through the bins, you see that wildly creative cover, you know what's going on. And I just love its energy. I'm gonna be two cool guys with Jason Lady with
it. Well, you guys are not alone. AU Kathy was with me, gave it an 8. But Courtney Holland gave it a 10. As you mentioned, Jason Lady gave it a 10, says great cover, eye-catching, creative. The logo is even getting pulled into the whirlpool.
Linkovic said, I think this last issue was Derek Robertson's first cover. You shut up, Linkovic. I'm the host. Me. Sorry. I carried away. Auburn Elvis says, an eight is fair. Bot Boy. I said Bat Boy before. I can't read. I got to get my eyes checked, my friend. Bot Boy versus gave it a 10. And Trey Black gave it a 9, says all kinds of dynamic, and it's even affecting the title. Issue number box and the Marvel logo, the only thing that detracts is the Spidey box, which I don't even think that was on all the covers. That's on if you got it directly from a comic book. That's it from me. Jared is going to read the cover credits for the issue.
I will. I don't remember if we welcomed Jim Meal to the chat or not, or if he just joined. But he also mentioned that he likes it when the logo is part of what's going on, which is great. You know, whenever I think of that, I think of this X-Men cover with Cyclops assed up and the X-Men logo is being broken. I love that. They're memorable. They're always memorable.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I'm supposed to be talking about the creative team for this issue or something like that. You give the guy a month off and he comes back and know what he's doing. All right. I'm quite certain that I have a banner for Stu. Here we go. New Warriors number 32's on sale date was December 22nd, 1992. So pick it up and read it during your Christmas break, kids. Its cover date was February of 1993. Its cover price was $1.25. Its story was by Fabian Nicieza, pencils by Derek Robertson, inks Larry Malstead, colors Joe Rosas, letters Joe Rosen, editor is Bob Tokar, who I'm pretty sure is a Ninja Turtles villain, almost positive. So that is your creative team, and I think Dalton's going to give us a synopsis.
I think you're right. Let me do that. The title of this book is Forces of Darkness, Forces of Light, Part 1, Crawling to the Shadows. Something sinister is going on in Manhattan. Something is wrong with the Dark Force, the source of power for quite a few heroes and villains, to include the new warrior Silhouette, who has gone missing. But what has gone wrong? Who's responsible? How will all of the Manhattan-based heroes, to include the Warriors, respond in that ending? Woo-hoo! Discussion time. All right, we're going to talk about this book. Jared's going to bring up some pages. We're going to talk about those pages. We're also going to incorporate comments from the live listening audience. So we start.
All right, before we start, I just want to point out that the title of this one, Crawling to the Shadows, is a great album name, first cut album for an emo rock band, and that rock band's name, Midnight's Fire. Yeah. So it's all tied together.
I was growing like a bang of hair.
I have to do like this. Welcome to Crawling to the Shadows. It has a very like The Cure kind of sound to it. Anyway, what the hell am I supposed to be? Oh yeah, pulled up picture. Give me a month off.
Proud of the joke, though.
I was just like, that's the show. That's the show. I'm George Costanza, leaving on a high note. Goodbye, everybody. All right, let's get into it. Okay, so I have a preface. I have a kind of a different theme for this one. Normally, I take pictures of the story beats, and that's kind of happened, but I noticed a theme in this issue of Derek gets to do a lot of splash pages or half splash pages of heroes that, you know, he might not normally get to draw a lot, or big splash page moments for heroes he does get to draw a lot. It's a lot, and I think it's done intentionally. It's a lot of well-paced through the book, so I basically picked all those. Mm-hmm. And before I'll pull up page one, but before I even start, and page one I really just brought up as the mood setter. It starts with this guy in the asylum, and darkness is coming, and all this stuff. But we can go back to that, but I'm going to go to my other one, and just artistically, from a comic creator's point of view, like every page after the first one, and let me move my banner just in case I'm wrong. Yeah. Every page after the first one has oozing darkness in the background. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that just as a creative choice is really, really cool. It's just a theme that sets a tone through the whole book. So I want to clear the deck on that and just say, I noticed that. I thought it was very cool and very clever. Very, very neat. I like it when you play with things beyond the panels, and they did that here. And looking at it, I was like, I wonder if that's something that they did from the outset or something they added after all the panels were done. I can't quite tell, but I like it. So
it was a good idea thematically. This whole book, from even the first page, like how Fabian kind of, you know, put his own words in it. It was like, a part of me was like,
This is so 90s / over the top, some of the dialogue. But another part of me was thinking mood setter. He is setting a mood for what he wants. He wants to convey that there's a difference between being in the dark and being in the light. And he started that from page one, and very clearly, without knowing it, the New Warriors plus the city of Manhattan is being pulled into the darkness, and they don't quite realize it.
Yes, good tonal stuff going on between the.
And I want to mention this since you mentioned it, because I would have gotten to it eventually. What you kind of described is basically like the Mighty Marvel manner, right? The style of writing comic books. You can tell that Fabian and Derek had some conversations or about what to do with this book, or even better said, you can tell that Fabian gave Derek a loose script and said, go crazy, Cadillac, go crazy. Mm-hmm. And you can tell Derek, to me, it just seemed like Derek had so much fun drawing this book. And this kind of, I love also on the cover that they mentioned, a new area of warriors greatness begins here. This book, the drawing style, how it was laid out, kind of reminds me of this run of the New Warriors. Like, you know how much I love Mark Bagley. And Mark Bagley and his artwork is crisp and it's clean. And like, he didn't draw anything bad. And everything is just great. Derek is different. Derek draws a lot of good stuff. And we're going to get to it. And I'm going to rant and rave about how awesome looking it is. But it's in his own style. And it's out there and bombastic with the facial expressions and everything. And this is what I think of when I think of this run of that was just so fun to read. So read and watch.
Well, all right. Devil's excited about what's to come. And I guess I'll see what's to come.
And possibly the pre-energy that I've been drinking.
Oh, man. Not to compare myself to Fabian or Mark to Derek, but you know, me and Mark making comics, we just had a Zoom meeting a week ago talking about Shipwreckers. It's coming close to getting to the end, folks. This is not a plug for Shipwrecker, but just what you were saying, Mark actually thanked me. He was like, thank you for writing the scripts the way you do, to where you give me enough information on the layouts and all that, but you don't handcuff me. And especially when I get to action scenes, there will literally be like three pages that just say, have our character just killing zombies, have fun, I don't care, you know.
Yeah,
that's what you got to do to get products like this. So I'm not, again, it's not a plug for my book, I just sort of an inside baseball, how creators work with writers, work with artists. I can feel that very much, very much.
Real quick before we go on, a couple of things. Courtney Holland asked me, did I tape NXT the wrestling show? I didn't, Courtney, but I'm gonna read what happened, because again, I know it's a big one. So I will do at least a read through of what happened. And then she adds, that's her face when she goes to a haunted house. And Auburn Elvis adds, apparently that's someone named Enrique Galante, goes by Asylum. Not real familiar with him. I wasn't either. But Jason Lady adds, in the annuals that year, each annual introduces or features a new character. Asylum was the New Warriors' contribution. This is why we have a live chat, Jared, because I would not have remembered who the heck Asylum was either.
When they said his name, Asylum, I was like, I know him from somewhere. He must have popped up as a guest star in something that I've read, because I was like, that rings a bell, but that's as far as that thought went. I was like, that rings a bell, and that's
wait,
all I
is,
had.
Is Asylum the character that's a part of Cyanex? Yes, that's Asylum, right? The black, flowy, dark force character.
Oh, there. Okay, and that makes sense, because this is the darkness and light story. That's where I've known him from. Okay, he's been in the book before.
There it is. So, like, but we never got to see him like this. Okay.
Yep. Got it.
Well, and sure enough, Trey Black comments and says the original Asylum was so part of Cyanex. Yep.
All right.
Great.
I'm more familiar with his brother, Arkham. Let me bring up another picture. All right. So again, the theme here is going to be the splash page hero moments. We start with Nova. He's just finished a date with his high class lady friend. There's a really bad joke on here that I think a 14-year-old Fabian Nicieza probably wrote. But I'm more focused on splash page moment, high energy hero moment, but so dark. Even the colors are muted. Mm-hmm. This is a theme that they run through this whole book. For those of you watching live, you can see the black just oozing out from behind the panels there. You know you're more familiar with a more bright and colorful Nova, especially when he's in this big happy moment, but it's not as bright as you would think. Double.
Yep. Yep. I don't have much to add on that other than I do like that they sort of set the – and it was already set, but they set the standard that, like, you know, Laura and Rich Rider seem to be an odd couple of sorts, but they seem to be into each other because of those differences. Like, I think – Rich kind of digs dating a, you know, uptown girl living in her white bread world. And then you got Laura, who kind of had, you know, dating, you know, the scruffy, you know. The
backstreet guy.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So, yeah. yeah. So it's cool that, you know, even though that wasn't the main part of the storyline, that they wanted to just introduce that, yep, they are still a thing. And they seem to be getting kind of copacetic.
He does have a good thing in his favor. Well, two good things in his favor. He's got a pretty good sense of humor, and he's ridiculously handsome. So, I mean, he's doing all right for himself.
Right. Yeah. It's like, all right. you might be scruffy. You might not have a lot of money, but you cute, though.
Yeah. He's pretty funny, and he's built, and he's handsome.
Yeah, let me touch some pecs. Okay, yeah, I'm good.
Does she know that he's a hero? I remember I missed last month. So right now, nope. it's just Richard Rider.
She does not. She does not.
All right. Next up in our line of splash page or half splash pages for characters for Derek to draw, we have Archangel swooping in to take on some darkness, you know? And if you listen to Amazing Spider-Man Chronicles where we cover old X-Men issues, we are relentless to poor Warren Worthington and his uselessness as Angel, but I've always liked him as Archangel. So it was nice to see. This is clearly, like, to me, we're on issue 32. The book has proven itself in sales. I think Marvel is trusting Fabian more and giving him more of the toys in the toy box. And this, like, to me, is clearly him going, I want this toy and this toy and this toy because there's more toys to come. But let's stop and have your thoughts on the Archangel moment.
Derek Robertson can draw some Archangel, can't he?
He can draw anything, really. He's just been given the gifts. He's like Mark, man. He can draw anything out of his head, and I hate him. And yeah, he has to die.
Like I saw that, and that was one of the ones. Like I think you already skipped past Cloak and Dagger, and I saw.
Nah, they're coming up.
They're coming up. Okay, then I won't say anything about that. But like this picture of Warren, like you know, in the blue, looking all powerful and deadly with the wings, like almost like a butterfly, almost. It just but like a bird of prey at the same time, like,
like oh, that's a good. I know you were going for this with bird of prey, but it with that formation and his metallic, it does look like a Klingon bird of prey from Star Trek, like that imposing look.
Yeah, yeah, and sure enough, like being Warren, one of the things that he happened to mention in the book was, you know, how rich he is because you know Warren gonna Warren.
He's like, sometimes I feel bad about all the money I have, but then I was like, let's drink some champagne. Like, well, I wouldn't feel bad if I were you, Warren. All right. Next up in our showcase of heroes is the Amazing Spider-Man. Whip, thwip, man. You got Spider-Man in the book now. Mary Jane. Mary Jane is now linked to Speedball's mom. They're both working on the same general hospital or secret hospital.
Secret hospital.
Right, the same soap opera. So those universes are starting to connect. And Derek has an opportunity to draw Spider-Man. And on one hand, I'm like, it's a pretty good Spidey. On the other hand, I'm sad this is the darkness issue because he's really dark and muted. And I would have liked to seen a little bit more exciting, energized Spider-Man, which is hard to do in those colors.
I get what you're saying. While at the same time, I'm like, I know it wasn't done intentionally or spitefully because clearly if Fabian had anything even shade to say about Mark Bagley, he would have said it on the show. But in a way, it's kind of like, Mark Bagley, eat your heart out, right? Because now Bags is on The Amazing Spider-Man mm-hmm. and Derek Robertson. I'm like, man, I wish that he could have, I don't know, maybe had did a 2 or 3 issue run of Amazing Spider-Man himself because that's a good Spidey. And I also like the continuity of, they mentioned the soap opera Secret Hospital a few times in Amazing Spider-Man 2. So for them to
pull Robbie's mom into that and make her a part of that and then link those two universes was a really nice touch by Fabian.
Oh yeah, I was fully reading Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man during this era. So yeah, there's a lot actually around Secret Hospital, the soap opera. In fact, I think Mary Jane gets kidnapped off the set or like right after filming at some point, and Spidey goes nuts trying to find her. Yeah, we'll get to it on Amazing Spider-Man Chronicles in a few years.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's fuzzy, but yes.
Yeah, there was a whole thing. Anyways, I bet someone in the chat knows. All right. You want to check in with them before I bring up the next one? I don't have the chat up, so I couldn't.
Yeah, no, I'm looking. There's some comments going on, but I brought up Courtney's, who said that Spidey looks amazing, and I agree. There's some talk about Archangel having one of the best power upgrades ever, and I agree. Louise Simonson absolutely did the right thing because she kind of commented and was like, Angel's boring. we needed to do something with him. And I'm like, I totally agree. So that's it.
Yeah, I was reading, Jason's comics of the X-Men at this time too. And I read it live, quote unquote live, when Harpoon stuck him to the wall, which is the beginning of that changed everything. And that was, that was a poignant moment. Welcome to X-Cast, y'all. And of course, Jason Lady bailed me out and said, yep, that storyline, she got kidnapped by their landlord, believe it or not.
Who was a fan of the show.
Yes, he loved the show. He was like a crazed fan.
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me now.
I think maybe that was a Spec Spidey storyline. It feels like it was a Spec Spidey storyline. You know,
I was reading them all at the time, so they might be blended in my head.
Me too.
You asked for it. You got it. Here's the cloak and dagger moment where Derek Robertson just continues to like, again, I have this very strong feeling that Fabian's like, hey, they gave me all these toys to play with. I want to do a lot of characters that sort of do a darkness and light thing. Derek, I want you to be able to show off on each and every one. So, you know, darkness and light, you got to have cloak and dagger. You know, you got to have a character that will come up shortly, which we'll reserve for that. And then he was like, and Spider-Man. Because Spider-Man is cool.
So, Spidey is cool. And
I always perk up when I see Cloak and Dagger. This is one of my the Rick Leonardi run of them in the 80s is a book that I read as a kid pretty religiously, no pun intended. I've always liked their dynamic. They're just, to me, one of the greatest duos in comics. They could have been, and sometimes they were a little, you know, teenagery and silly a little bit, but the book was taken seriously. It's one of those things where it was taken seriously. I don't think it did as well, if I remember correctly. The Rick Leonardi book didn't go super long, but I liked it a lot. And my favorite detail on this page is when they call each other's names. It is in the font from the cover of that book, and that made me smile.
Man, that dagger is striking. Like, as I saw it, and it was one of those like, dang, Derek, chill, man. You don't have to go that hard. You're gonna dial back a little bit. I mean, it's like, is he auditioning for other books while he's on the new Warriors?
That's what it feels like. Like, he's showcasing.
He is showcasing. I mean, those are great drawings. And then the other part of it that just makes me laugh is, I swear, I don't know if I've ever read a Cloak and Dagger book, but I have seen Cloak and Dagger in quite a few books. And I swear, their win-loss ratio is 0 and 1,032. They never win, ever, ever. And because, like, Dagger was all like, no, I won't let you go into the night again. Light's going to win.
It is like always the same thing, like Cloak's like, don't go into my darkness, Dagger. No, I'm totally going into the darkness. I'll save you.
But it sort of, I wish I remembered this storyline just like it was yesterday, and I don't. So I'm reading along and relearning this storyline. I think it was a very good tell when Dagger, who, like, not only she defied what Cloak said, but she did it because she's like, I'm going to fight for you if you can't fight for yourself, which is, woo. That's what a friend,
great duo.
Yeah, that's what a friend should do. But then also she comes in and she sees a number of people. And she was able to survive in there because she was a being of light. And somebody they didn't show who, plucked her out and threw her right back out into like the real world. It's like, you do not belong here. You are a being of light. And this is a dark world. And so I think that's a little bit of portend for what's to come, but I can't remember fully. So I'm looking forward to reading the storyline again.
I'm definitely excited about the appearance. And now it brings us to another moment in the book, another splash page excitement. Derek draws a speedball that the only thing that makes me sad about it is his speedball pose is better than his Spider-Man pose, and speedball is out Spider-Maning Spider-Man with the pose. This is a Spider-Man pose. And so I kind of wish that the Spidey splash page got this treatment, maybe this is him kind of showing his, I don't know if it's one of his favorite characters or not, but it feels like it.
Yeah, he has drawn a few dynamic speedy poses, and I'm okay with it because it is the New Warriors and not the Amazing Spider-Man. If it were the Amazing Spider-Man, it better be the other way around. You're not going to give Speedball the showcase that you'd give Spidey in an Amazing Spider-Man book, but you definitely would in the New Warriors. So I like that moment. And then to continue, a lot of times when Speedy's bouncing all over the place, you know, it's bubbles, it's exuberance, right? Nope, not here. Still dark, still super dark where he's bouncing around. And even though I kind of like, he turned into Speedball by running his head into the wall like a freaking maniac.
You know, that got past me. I was so busy looking at the splash page. Like, I read the words, but I skipped. I didn't see that he smacked his
head. Yeah, I double checked that. It's like, he better be glad his powers work because he would have had a broken neck otherwise. Just real quick, a comment I'm seeing from Jason Lady, who's saying props to Robertson's drawing of the background buildings. A lot of artists wouldn't have put in the effort or have time.
Yeah, that's when Larry Malstedt was like, yeah, thanks a lot. So happy to bust out my rulers to do those buildings for you.
You got another page coming?
Of course I do. We have two more. In fact, we have this one, which not necessarily a splash page moment, but Dr. Strange gets in on the mix as well. He basically senses a disturbance.
And in typical Doc Strange style, goes to investigate. And you know, when Dr. Strange comes into your book, there's something pretty big and powerful going. And so I saw that and was kind of intrigued by it. Years later, in a Spider-Man storyline, Doc Strange kind of appeared and was like, there is something going on here. I don't like it. And he disappeared. Like, they showed him and then he disappeared for like 6 months and then came back. It's like, it's this thing when it was time for the big reveal. So like, that's what Doc Strange does. Like, so I'm interested to see his role in it as well. And very well drawn. Of course, it was, you know, Doc Strange was aware that something was going on, even though he was already cloaked in shadows as per the art. But then as soon as he left and went to the darkness, even that candlelight went out. And that was, mm-hmm. that was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And our final.
Let's see. Okay. Just real quick. Jason King just mentions, they're talking some Spider-Man stuff. So since it's not germane to what we're talking about, I will.
We still love you, Jason King.
I will say hello to Jason King, though, because we had not mentioned him before. So welcome to the chat, Jay.
The Weasel Skull himself.
I love that name.
Here we have the last page of the book. I wanted to include another splash page of Rage getting covered by darkness, which was really good. But this is like, I think I actually posted 9, which is high for us on this one. So I did jump to the last moment where Rage basically gets dipped in darkness and then a mysterious dark figure just basically beats the crap out of him. And here's the aftermath, and it's revealed that Namor Rita has clearly survived the Exxon Valdez incident and is not pleased. That there's an 80s joke for everybody. Is not pleased about it.
Yeah, so I just had a thought on that. Like, the darkness kind of washed over both of them. Rage made it through. If you remember a couple of issues ago, he combined with his dark side. That was from the Infinity Crusade or something like that. He combined with his dark side. So in a way, he kind of faced his demons, right? And maybe that's why he was able to survive this. Because like, he should have been overcome by darkness too, and he wasn't. But Namor Rita was not. Namor Rita hasn't confronted her demons like that. And sure enough, the dark force washed over her and completely converted her. And I felt it was like, the page before that, it made me kind of like cringe a little bit because like it, the couple of pages before it, it was showing how very smart and capable Rage is. And you remember, he's like 14 years old. He's young. And he's young, but very smart, very capable. He's working the computer stuff. He overcame that darkness. But his friend betrayed him, and you can even just see the look in his eyes. Like, Nita? Like, why are you hitting me? Like, he didn't even defend himself. He was taken by surprise so much, and that led to this splash page where Nova comes in and is like, I don't know what's going on, but you're stopping this right now.
She gave it to him harder than she gave it to the sea urchin, man, when she was mad at that guy.
And she was mad at that guy. So what's
I mean, like, they use sound effects like crunch for a punch to his eye socket, which tells me she probably broke it.
Oh, right. not pretty. And Rage is a tough dude. Rage is taking, he can take the hits, you know, like he knows what he's worth. You know, so like but so like for that means Nita probably was not holding back. Nita was hitting him as hard as she could because she's very strong. Yeah. So a couple comments on the page. Jason Keene says, LOL, no problem. I'm always off topic. Dude, who cares? It's like you're in the chat. We appreciate you being here. Trust me. That was no shade whatsoever. Jason Lady says, great Nova hero pose there. I agree. Almost Captain America-esque there. And Jason Keene replies, agreed about the Nova page. Nita looks very menacing on the top of the page as well. Oh, yeah, she absolutely does. A couple of jokes from Auburn Elvis and Jason Keene, but we can move on.
Well, that's about it. Any final thoughts on the story?
Yes. And it's more of a question since we usually run about an hour and we're doing well on time. I just wanted to ask you very quickly, not even getting into ratings yet, just what do you think about part one of Forces of Darkness, Forces of Light?
Well, it's coming on the heels of one of my, you know, not as favorite story arcs, their whole Trans-Sabal. Is that where they went? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. You know, I wasn't big on that one. It was okay. I didn't hate it. It just wasn't for me. So this is ironically darker, but it's intriguing because it's clear to me that somehow the silhouette is still missing. She has a darkness power. She's going to get wrapped up in this somehow, and I'm waiting to see how that plays out. And so it's very intriguing. It's definitely got a good setup. There's, you know, darkness is spreading, a neat roster of additional characters, and especially excited about Cloak and Dagger.
Yep. And, you know, I was sort of hoping that, you know, maybe Namorita didn't, you know, get affected. Maybe it was like Nova and then Rage because, you know, it'd be twin brother dark. Yeah. The jokes for Jared there.
My God.
So, somebody else is going to hear that and laugh at it. All right, Jared, go ahead to your part before we get into more extended bits.
Okay. Let's talk about in issue 32. Who was the ultimate warrior and who is your ultimate worrier? So who do you think really shined well and who are you super concerned about, Delvin?
I guess Nova. Nova is my warrior because, you know, he had a good date. Things going well with Miss Dunham and that he's enjoying that. And he came in and made the save and stopped Rage from probably getting killed by an enraged Namorita. So not only did he save Rage, but in a sense, he saved Namorita. Who do you think is the ultimate warrior?
I concur with you. I think this is a big Nova issue, even though he's not in it a lot. Things are going well for him, and we have to root for him at the end and hope that he can defeat evil Namorita, or at least, better yet, save her.
Just real quick, I'll read a couple comments. I didn't mean to click on that one, but Auburn Nova says, yeah, Nova. Well said. And Jason Lady was saying, I like those days when a big event would happen in New York City and all the heroes would get into the action. Inferno and Casket of Ancient Winters were also like that. I don't remember Casket of Ancient
Winters. I remember Inferno, but Casket of Ancient Winters is something he just made up in the chat just now, I'm pretty sure.
I agree. And Jason King says, poor Elvin. I don't remember when he gets a moment to shine. I'm worried about Rage. And Nova is the big warrior. Jason Lady added that the ultimate warrior is Nova, saves Rage, and has a nice relationship going on. But now,
Ah, yes. But now we have to talk about Inferno, what, A Casket of Ancient Winters, which is a book of poetry by a little known poet named
Midnight's Fire.
Midnight's Fire. Yes. Anyways, who are we worried about? Who are we concerned about? You know, Dylan, you can lead that.
I'm worried about the team in general. Like, first of all, it's been a while since I've read this. I don't know if Thrash comes back in. I'm interested to see if he does. They, before Rage got completely jacked and Nita got turned to the dark side, they seem to have located where Silhouette was. So somebody's going to have to find her. But the team is going to first have to figure out what to do with this insanely powered Namorita. What do you think, man?
Just because I am who I am, come from where I come from, I'm worried about Dagger. I'm hoping we see more of her and hoping that she can play a key role in saving everything. But things weren't looking so good for her. And clearly easy to be worried about Namorita, especially Darkness got a hold of her. But I'm worried about my girl Dagger.
I hear you. Our audience once again bails us out, my friend. Trey Black and Jason Lady both said that Casket of Sorrows was a Thor event and ended up spilling over to all the other New York-based books. When did it spill over to Spider-Man? I have literally every Amazing Spider-Man. I don't remember Casket of Sorrows going in there. I still swear that y'all are making it.
They made it up. Just want to point something out because I'm sitting here. I read it in this trade that I think you sent me, and I was just flipping through it, and I was like, because the trade is called Darkness and Light. And so I was like, where did it start? Because the Darkness and Light storyline doesn't happen until almost halfway through. So I'm like, usually they have a reason for that. There's some sort of seed planted.
Well, you remember in the Trance of Ball storyline, the seed was planted where it looked like the Vanisher was sort of looking for Silhouette and disappeared.
This goes all the way back to 27.
Mm-hmm.
And 27 is where it starts. And 27 is the one where Rage faced his dark side and won.
Okay.
And where Speedball faced his dark side.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. I feel like that might come into play. If it does, I'll be very impressed.
Well, I think it kind of has, right? I mentioned before about Rage overcoming his darkness. And so we'll see if Speedball finds himself similarly unaffected by what's going on in the Dark Force or whether or not he's able to resist. So
I believe you're right. Albert Nobles disrupt a very funny comment.
I see it. But I will not read that one, but read instead what he said, who he's worried about. He's worried about Enrique Galante, says he has problems. Yes, he does. And let's see. Jason Lady gave the Ultimate Warrior to Rage, says that he's pretty messed up. Yeah, he's going to take a little bit to recover from that. And I think that's it, man. We talked about Warrior. We talked about Warrior. Let's rate it 1 through 10. You want to go first?
Sure. This is a good comeback to me from the last story. I missed last episode, but I did read the issue. And now that I've read it, it seems kind of like a one and done.
Yep.
Kind of a Firestar gets a new costume that I'm not. I like the old one better, by the way. It's not bad, but I like the old. So it seemed like a one and done. So I go back to the Trance of Ball one, which I didn't rate very high. It didn't really do it for me. I found it more annoying than entertaining. This is entertaining in it, but in a dark way. So my initial thought was I will give it an 8. But much like we did on a recent recording of Amazing Spider-Man Chronicles, we're reading this in October, which is the spooky season. Right. And I think this is a great time to read the storyline. I think that just will give it one more point. And I'm going to give it a 9 because I'm very intrigued on what happens next. It's got that dark spookiness during the Halloween season. I think the timing of this couldn't have been better.
And this shouldn't surprise you, right? Like, since this is I am more of a cautious approacher, I think it's going to be all I remember was this was a good storyline. That's it. And
clearly as a worthy place, of a trade paperback.
Clearly. I mean, and Marvel doesn't do that with all of its books, right? And so they thought enough of it to put it into a trade paperback form. I'm at an 8. It was a good place setter. To me, like, it was light on story, but intentionally so, in that they wanted to build the mystery. And while building that mystery, you had Derek Robertson just showing his whole behind with that artwork, just like him and Larry, like, y'all stop. They just showed out. And I give Fabian a ton of credit for maybe saying, you know what? I'm still building this story. So it's going to have a few issues to breathe. So I may as well have let Derek and company have a little bit of fun with the pictures and everything. And so everything from this great cover to the storyline was really, really, really good. And I'm probably, not probably, I am being conservative on it by giving it an 8. It probably deserves a little bit better than that. But for now, I'll leave it at an 8. And with the caveat that if the storyline builds and gets better, it's going to get higher marks from there. We had one comment as far as the ratings. Maybe by the time I finish reading it, might get others. But Jason Lady gave this book a 9. Says it's a fun beginning to a fun storyline, chock full of guest stars. It's always cool when you have a book that has the guest stars in it, because just like you mentioned, that's kind of Marvel's nod saying, okay, you guys are, it's a good book. People are reading it. We can throw some characters in it and make sure that this is actually incorporated into the Marvel Universe 616 storyline. Let's see. Jason Keene said, I remember freaking out that I needed to find the annual issue to finish this storyline. Annuals didn't always show up at grocery stores and drugstore spinner racks. See, he's telling me something I didn't know. If it ends in the annual, it looks like we're going to be reading annual 3 coming up. But
I bet it's in my trade paperback.
Yeah, I bet it is. And if it's not, you know, we'll get it to you. Let's see. Jason King gave it a 9. Trey Black gave it an 8. Says it's a good build up with a nice cliffhanger. Love that cliffhanger. Auburn Elvis said, I give it a strong 8. Mm-hmm. And Courtney gives it a strong 8. Courtney gives it a 9. So good ratings all around from everybody, from every boy, from every girl, from every person talking about it on this show. And everyone, speaking of show, that is the show. Come back and join us for the next episode where we discuss New Warriors 33, where the Forces of Darkness, Forces of Light storyline continues and Nova fights Dark Namorita. All right. If you'd like to hear more from us, Long Box Crusade, y'all, we're a lot of places. I don't even need the script anymore. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter X. Look for Long Box Crusade. You will find us. We have a Patreon feed as well. We'd love for you to join our Crusaders Club at only $1 a month. We have 39 members, each of which we love individually of their own accord. We'd love for you to be the 40th, and whomever joins up as that 40th, that triggers Jared and I watching the original Fantastic Four movie, the Roger Corbin movie that we are both anxious to review and read and give our takes on. Did we ever release that Star Wars holiday special one?
It went to the Patreon. We did that when we hit, I think, 30.
Yeah.
And that was maybe 2 years ago. It was a Patreon special. We posted there. I don't know if we've ever posted it to the public.
We should post it.
If it's still out and about around there, it's we could definitely. Yeah, it's got to be in our private videos on YouTube.
Yeah, it's worth posting. Anyway, we have we go old school with, you can email us, contact@longboxcrusade.com. We go older school, 707-532-5269, 707-532-LBOX. If you wish to leave us a voice message, and I would not want to deny Jared his opportunity to sing.
Pick up the phone.
I know you get it. I just got to wait. That's just the reliability of an old friend. Let's see. Is there anything else to talk about? Did I miss something, Jared? Other than, of course, giving it to you and letting you peddle your wares?
No, I think you've got it. We'll be getting you some more Long Box Crusade content soon. Behind the scenes, we'll be doing some On Her Majesty's Secret podcast recording tomorrow night. And then Jason and I are doing Action Film Face-Off recording on Thursday, or Horror Film Face-Off horror on film Thursday face-off. Night. So look forward to the Halloween special, you guys.
When are you going to let my... It's been many episodes. I ain't been on in a minute. You got to let me back on. Yeah. I need to be a sniper.
Well, here's what happened. Since, we'll make the show longer. We opened it up on Patreon. That's one of the Crusaders Club members. We said, hey, who wants to be a guest? We took everybody that responded. We plugged in the guest slots. And I think that goes all the way out through, fall of next year. So I'll get back to you in a year.
All right. That's fair, because it's awesome that we have Crusaders Club members that want to participate.
Absolutely.
on a fantastic show. Action Film Face-Off is a super original idea and a whole lot of fun. The last one
is so far our second best viewed or listened to show on YouTube, which is awesome. So make it number one, y'all. And while you're doing that, please like and subscribe. That is a great place to end. Oh, wait, no, not Canada yet. Hadn't talked about your stuff, Jared. Tell them where you can be found.
Oh, I am at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And you can check out my artwares at www.theyardsaleartist.com. Where can they find you, Delvin?
Twitter X, DEE_REY1977. Facebook, Instagram, Delvin Ray, DELVINRAY. That is it, everybody. We enjoyed you so much. Thank you all for participating on the live stream. See y'all next time. And remember, be a hero to somebody, even if it's just to yourself. And until next time, New Warriors, come out to play.
Bye,
Auburn Elvis requested a freeze ending, Jared. Would you like to do that? All right.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze? Thank you for watching. Come out to play.
Oh, see, there you go. Freeze ending. Okay. Nope, that one works. That's just as good. You don't have to do two freezes. One freeze is enough. Night, everybody.
See you guys.
New Warriors, come out to play.
Intro music is provided by musical genius Joe November.
Check out his SoundCloud at JOSEFLIN99. You won't regret it.